Got a privilege this morning, guys, to have Daniel Jones and Bob Griffin here with us. Daniel with his family and his children. Have they gone off to Sunday school? Have they? God bless them. All right. And Daniel is here on the coast, and he's here with some mates, Ty and Tom. Did I remember right? And they're starting ministry here. Daniel is particularly involved with SOS, which is a food distribution ministry. And they're evangelists, and they're just following the breadcrumbs that God's laying out before them, and seeking the advance of the kingdom in whatever way God presents to them. All three of these guys, as I understand it, are evangelists, and just overflowing with a passion for God. That was obvious this morning too. So it was through Daniel that we had the opportunity also to invite Bob Griffin here. And Bob is here with his daughter Jasmine, one of five daughters or children that he has back home, I guess. Are they all in the States, Bob? And I'm just really humbled and awed to have Bob here. I've read a little bit about Bob's ministry. He's been used of the Lord as a seer, as a prophet for years now. He's been married for about 22 years, but he's on. You can view his teachings anytime on Patricia King's network, and of course Patricia is going to be here on the 1st of November as well. And he and his wife were one of the first couples to be interviewed by Sid Roth on It's Supernatural back in the day. I'm guessing that was back in 2007, 2006, somewhere in there, Bob. But the Lord, and this is not to wave Bob's flag, but just so you settle and pay attention, Bob predicted prophetically the incidents of 9/11 about 5.5 years to the day before they occurred, as well as the Kansas City bombing. And the Lord has used Bob prophetically in many, many ways in the earth. He's been all over the States. He's been about 25, 26 different nations teaching and preaching and activating people in the things of the kingdom. He's on a regular broadcast, television broadcast, in Namibia. And I wish Nicole was here, who is from Namibia. But God is expanding Bob's influence, and the evidence of that is that he's all the way up here in the Sunshine Coast. We're just grateful for that. And trust that the Lord is going to speak through them. I want to give Daniel an opportunity just to share for a few minutes first before we hear Bob. And so, guys, I want you to, by the way, I'm just drawn to you, Jasmine, because you're 20 and my daughter Elise is 20, and I only wish she was here and you guys could compare notes. And you're not dissimilar in appearance either, so God bless you for coming along. Jasmine, I understand, attends a church in Florida, Rodney Howard Brown's church in Florida, and has been attending the Bible school that Rodney set up there. And gee, kids have so many good options these days. It's just exciting. It's just exciting. So, but God is preparing an army. Daniel, come up and share with us for a few minutes before Bob shares with us too. Why don't you welcome Daniel, guys? Come on.
Wow, it's an honor to be here, guys, and we're so excited. Let's just give Jesus a hand this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give him a hand. It's all about him. Just want to share briefly with you this morning a bit of the vision of what God's doing here, why I'm here with Pastor Bob, and how God connected that all together. Just to quickly start out, I was born in Townsville, but I was raised on the Sunshine Coast. Somebody say amen. And the Lord set me free, not in Africa, not in India, not in Fiji, not in Brisbane, not even at Hillsong, even though I love Hillsong. He set me free on the Sunshine Coast. Somebody say amen. Come on, hear my heart here today. Somebody say amen. He set me free. I'm friends. I've had the privilege and honor to meet different ministries. But all of that was birthed in my life right here on the Sunshine Coast. My heart, I just want to share one scripture with you this morning to leave a deposit and an encouragement to every generation and every person that's in the room. This morning, God's going to heal people. You, sir, I think it's you. I don't know if you have a sore back sometimes or something, but God's going to do, if it's you, do you get a sore back or somewhere in this round, this area? Do you ever get a sore back? God's going to heal you today, sir. You, ma'am, I just want to show you guys what God's doing in your generation. I'm from the Sunshine Coast. It's nothing to do with me. And everything to do with what God's doing in our generation. Where'd you go? Here. I believe God's going to heal your hips and spine today. Would that be true?
My spine.
Your spine? Would that be true?
Yes, that's
spine. Awesome. Praise God. So what I'm trying to get you to understand you, sir, there's a gift on you to sing. The Lord said that you're going to touch the world. He set you free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's some things that have tried to attach, and I hear God saying, you are set free, no longer look anymore. I don't mean that in any critical way, because, sir, I just have been through some stuff as well, and I can see the enemy's throwing some things at you, but the Lord says that you have a gift to sing, and when you sing, the presence of God is going to fall. It's not even going to fall, it's going to rain, and there's going to be a whole generation that's set free. There's going to be something about you singing in liberty. There will be a deposit in the atmosphere of heaven, and it will bring liberty to others. We just release that over you today in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I don't have long, and so I don't want to go. There was one other person here I have to pray for, and I'm just trying to flow in the... Where would you go on me? Here we go. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer over every person I've pointed out at the end. You, ma'am, and one other lady down there. I'm going to go to you at the back. Down the very back, right there, the water bottle in your hand. Can you give me a wave? I know you don't want me to pick you out, but the Lord told me to pick you out today because he's going to take you through whatever you've been going through. The Lord told me that you're on a journey and that you're seeking him and that you're like, God, I just want the real thing. And I hear the Lord say, Proverbs chapter 3 is your scripture today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding and he will make your path straight. Today, in front of all these people, God told me to tell you that he's going to use you. He's going to do great things in your life. I break where the enemy's tried to bring any distractions or oppression or what, just emotional stuff. I break that today. And I want to tell you that God has got such a plan for your life, young lady. And you, God's going to use you so powerfully. You've got the fragrance of the Lord all over you. And I want you to be encouraged at what you do. The Lord says you bring atmospheric change to a room. And I hear God saying that you once have been around a lot of Christians and you've watched them divert and do different things, but you've been faithful in what you've been called to do. And the Lord says, even as you've been faithful, I even see ministry friends and opportunities, but you've stayed faithful in what God's called you to do. God tells me to tell you today, young lady, get ready. You're going to bring fragrance to the Sunshine Coast. And instead of them just getting touched, they're going to have commitment and discipleship. I see the last 18 months of discipleship in your life. God says, as you've been discipled, now get ready to become a discipler. Lord, I just release that over her today in Jesus' name. I'm going to go just one scripture, Pastor, and I'll finish up here and give it straight over to Prophet Bob Griffin. On Islam, I just want to encourage you. I just feel encouraged today. We're going to let Pastor Bob get up here right in a moment and minister to all you guys and bless you. But I want to encourage you on what God's doing in Australia. Coast to coast, north, south, east and west, Australia will be saved for Jesus. I have the privilege, I'm going to just say a couple of names just to connect with you without dropping names to be a big shot. I have the privilege and the honour to be in partnership with CFAN, Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. I work with CFAN Australia. I was just at a conference yesterday. We did four sessions. And Steve Asmar, the director, babysat my kids. He said, one day I'm the crusade director for the fire conference down the Gold Coast. And then the second day I'm a babysitter. And that so blessed my heart. I'm not saying this to bring anything of credibility for me. I am absolutely nothing. What I want you to understand was I was born in Townsville, forgive me. Just joking. But I was raised on the Sunshine Coast. And God's going to do something with another generation on the Sunshine Coast. I actually preach all over the place, all over the world, in all sorts of churches. I've had the honour and privilege of speaking at Bethel and Redding, California. I've had the honour and privilege of Patricia King. I'm doing a TV show. You'll see it in a moment. She's going to catch, I won't get into it, but she's doing a TV show with me. I had the privilege of meeting all these different men and women of the earth that we hear about. And I was just in October doing a conference and there was a big tent revival and I was with Pastor Georgian Banoff. I don't know if anyone knows Georgian Banoff. He's my mentor and my friend, and George and I were ministering together at the big tent event. I'm not trying to say this to bring names or to drop names or in any way. I'm trying to come in all humility. But I want to encourage you in what God is about to do within the church on the Sunshine Coast. I want to encourage you of what God is about to do through us, in us and around us, that he's going to deposit something for us. He's got something so, so powerful for us, church. Tell you two things and I'm done. My wife was a Muslim And she was raised in an Islamic household. You've all talked about ISIS this morning. We spent a bunch of time preaching on it. Just yesterday, we did a session on to some Iranians. There was about 30 Iranians that used to be Muslims in South Brisbane and are now now filled with the Spirit. And Shakira and I were asked to teach them not only to connect how to win people of that faith, but to teach them how to flow in the Spirit and teach them how to be spiritual beings. Because, you know, Muslims were created to be spiritual, not under a dark, demonic, spiritual mindset called Islam or a demonic belief system, but they were created in the image of God. Somebody say amen. Genesis 1:26, he says this, "Let us make man in an image." You ever felt God, tasted God, smelt God, seen God? I have. I know some people, I haven't. I've never touched God with any of my five senses. When he said, "Let us make man in an image," that word image is tesselo, which means to be a mirror-like reflection. So when God says, "Let us make man in our image," he was talking about making you in the image of being a spiritual being just like him. It's easy for me to do those things, not because I'm a show-off or because I'm some anything, but because I am his son. And I am spiritual, connected to a spiritual God, not weird. And the Lord told me three things are going to come out of your church: the Spirit, the Word, and mission. The three part are going to come in one. Spirit, Word, mission. Some people spirit, some people focus on the Word, some people focus on a mission. The Lord said to me, there will be a cocktail of the Holy Spirit and you will put it together and package it up and you will pour it out. And as you pour it out, it will be immersed with Spirit, Word, and mission. Finishing up, watch this. I'm going to share you this one thing because I want to share this scripture because Bob is a prophet. He's going to lay hands on you today and I. And we want you to grab this. Watch this today, and I'm just going to be done. This is 2 Kings. No one ever believes me. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm honestly, you do, Pastor Joel, honestly. At least you're with me, or I'll be done, I promise. Joel chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to fly. Sorry, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. I want to just go, verse 8. It says this. Now Elijah took his mantle. Everybody say mantle. And he rolled it up and struck the water and it was divided this way and that. Everybody say this way and that. So he took his mantle and he divided some water. He struck some water and it's divided here and there. And that same phrase is the same phrase in the same moment that happened when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt and into the promised land and they walked through the water. That word is chalal moment. And the chalal moment is where he splits the water. Not only does he split the water, he turns it into dry ground. In other words, God's going to bring moments on the Sunshine Coast to Australia through different men and through different ministries, and most of all, birthed and raised out of this great country, that will walk in a mantle, that will walk in an anointing, not to bring glory to our name, but to bring glory to what he did in our lives. You've got to understand, I went from stealing a car to preaching in the Gospels in 3 months. I was gangster for Jesus, and he got hold of me, you know? And I'm telling you, that's what he does in people's lives. We're going to strike the water with a mantle. The mantle is a physical cloak. Every single one of you have a mantle. Every single one of you have a cloak that God wants to do. The next move that God is going to bring into the church is not through a preacher. It's through you. I spend my life, and I'm going to finish with this, I spend my life devoted since 22, full-time evangelist in this nation, not just preaching the gospel, but empowering the church to win souls. We work from large churches to small churches. I'm in America on Thursday, do 14 meetings, come home for a night and fly out to Roma. Come on, somebody say amen, Roma. No one else wants to go to Roma. I'm going to Roma. And we've got every church coming together on the 20th of September with the Assembly of God out there. And we're going to blitz that town with a spirit of evangelism. Somebody say amen. Not about church, not about with souls. You want to know what I am? I'm an evangelist. I can prophesy. I can do all those things. But God has called us to win souls. One Australian every 3 minutes dies and goes to hell. 93% of this nation are not in church today, only 7%. 60% of this nation profess to think and identify with where you and I are at. Hear my heart. This is the first church I've ever preached in on the Sunshine Coast. I'm done. Hear my heart. There is a move coming. Not in Africa, not in India, I mean all these countries. There is something coming for Australia. The last great move before the preeminent return of Jesus Christ would come to Australia, New Zealand, and our outer islands. I'm glad I'm not Fijian. I'm glad I'm not African-American. I'm glad I'm, forgive me, you know, I love America. I'm there on Thursday. But I'm glad I'm none of those nations. I'm glad I was born in Australia. I'm glad I'm a Queenslander and the Broncos going to win. Somebody say amen. I'm glad that, I'm glad, why? Because in the plan of God, in his heart, in Jeremiah 29:11, he has a covenant with a nation. And he says, the last great move before the preeminent return of Jesus Christ is going to come to you and me. It's going to fall on us, around us, on our kids. We're going to see something that's never been seen before. They're going to absolutely transfer. This nation will be saved. Coast to coast, north, south, east and west, Australia will be saved for Jesus. One more time. Coast to coast, north, south, east and west, Australia will be saved for Jesus. My Islamic father-in-law birthed my evangelistic ministry. I went to him and I said, mate, no one, I want to get on the road. He said, what are you going to do with your life? I said, man, the Lord's told me to preach the gospel. How are you going to do that? He said, I've been invited to Texas. You can see I spent a lot of time there. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, what do you need? I said, I need an airfare. My father-in-law birthed an Islamic man. Have to talk to us another time because I'm going to finish down. It's Bob's time, chewing it up. But another man, Islamic man, her father-in-law, a Muslim. Sorry, my father-in-law, her father. Her mum committed suicide when she was 15, Christmas Day. She found her mum gassed in the family car. Not in Africa, in Australia, in Narangba. 1595. 1997, she hears the gospel for the first time. Forget church just for a moment, please. I love you. But you want a church in Australia? Give them Jesus and they'll get in church. We can't give them programs. We've got to give them God. 15, mum suicides. 17, totally lost. Here's the gospel at a Youth Alive rally. The spirit of truth. For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only son. Went into her heart, went into her life. God touched her. Touched this crazy car thief. Used to steal them straight out of the Sunshine car, out of Sun Plaza, mate. Takes me and this girl, 5 years later, connects us together, launches us into a destiny and a plan. For one thing and one thing only, for God so loved this world, that he gave his one and only son. Whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We've had led hundreds of Muslims to Jesus. My wife's led a few. We see God transforming and changing. Next week, we go and hit the gangs in Texas, man, where they'll like shoot you and cut your ears off if you don't give them a lollipop. For God so loved the world. Today, you've got a prophet that's going to deposit into the church on the Sunshine Coast. Under the Spirit, this is all I wanted to say. I stand up here today saying I'm just another young man sitting in the seat. Today, let's receive from him. Let's let him deposit something in your life, your family's life, a generational anointing into the life of this church, into the life of this community. And one word for this church, Lord says that this church is a well of Bethesda, a pool of Bethesda. And God says he's going to cause healing waters to start to be stirred. But the healing waters that aren't stirred aren't going to be relying upon you as a leader, but through an empowered body. And God says that you have this anointing that you're going to believe. I can see it. I'm glad. I can't believe we're not met yet. But there's an anointing on you to release the revelation that we're sons. And God says you're going to bring a revelation of sons and daughters with a pool of Bethesda to the Sunshine Coast. And I see the angel of the Lord stirring the waters and people are going to come and they're going to be healed. But the difference that God's going to do in this church is there's a very strong legacy of discipleship and heritage. And God says, I'm going to bring an evangelistic thrust and the commitment to discipleship with a mission focus. And the pool of Bethesda is going to stir. Miracles going to take place in your church. There's one other guy. Guy's got more hair on his face than his head. You, that's him. That side there, bro, I'm sorry. You're an evangelist and you wouldn't care. That's it. You're right there. You're an evangelist, man. Lord, I'm done. Lord told me to tell you, get ready to win souls. He's going to cause you to bring a whole family to Jesus. There's something that's going on in your life. People are watching. It's real. It's so real. God says that, I'm telling you, God, it's so real what he's done in your life. Get ready. God's going to give you the lost. I see your hand shaping another whole generation. Would you stand with me today and everybody give a massive hand. Pastor Bob Griffin, come up here. I want you to honor Bob Griffin today. I want you to honor him, amen. This is a prophet. Come up here, Pastor Bob. He's a man of God sent to us to deposit into this nation. Be blessed. He's going to do a... And then I'm going to flow and serve him at the altar.
Hallelujah. I love this guy. He's only had 10 closings today. He was working on 12, but hallelujah. You know, I guess I just want to say right now that I'm honored to be here. God has blessed us to be able to travel to the nations and to open up media, to open up television networks around the world. And really, God wants to take the whole world. Amen. I have but one job, and that's to make my dad famous. Amen. That's my job, to know him and to make him known. Amen. So I just want us to bow our head for just a moment while we pray. I'm going to invite the Lord to come and do something really, really spectacular here today. Father God, we just thank you right now that we can come before you, Father, with a pure heart, with honest heart. And we ask you right now for a wall of fire to be round about us. Let your glory be in the midst of Jerusalem. Father, I pray for your spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. And I pray right now, Father, for the gift of faith to rise up and minister and move in the midst of us, Lord. I pray right now that every gift of your spirit would flow unhindered, Lord, and that every heart would be open to receive, Lord. Father, I thank you that it goes beyond the mind. It goes beyond the feeling. Father, it goes into the spirit realm. And Father, I thank you right now, Father, that I agree with this declaration, Father, that from coast to coast, north, south, east, and west, that Australia shall be saved. Father, as it is written, Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Father, I pray right now that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I pray right now for a freedom and liberty, Lord God, to be opened up in this realm, Father, that every heart, Father, will perceive, Father, the value that you've placed upon them from your kingdom mandate. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You all know that we've come from a God that everything that goes out from God returns to God as God. Amen. It's not diminished in power or authority. When God sends you out, you return back to him as him. I just want you to know that everything in this world right now that God sends out returns back to him as him. It's not diminished in power or authority. And we started talking about ISIS, and it kind of shifted the message today. But I just want to say something about the Middle East and how important it is right now in end time prophecy and what your part is right now as well. I've had the opportunity to minister in a lot of Islamic nations. I'm a Jewish prophet, Jewish from birth, never knew it till I was 31 years of age, and I had a visitation from the Lord. And when I had this visitation from the Lord over 24 years ago, God began to speak to me, and he said, I've sealed you for the end time redemption for Israel and the church. And I said, God, why would you do that? I mean, I had a literal angel come into my home so bright in light that I followed this ball of light from my bedroom through my den into my living room. I got on my knees and I began to lift up my hands, and the angel of the Lord said, see that you do not do this, for I'm of your brethren, the prophets. And I suddenly realized that I was in the presence of an angel. All of a sudden, this angel turned into six more angels, and I was surrounded by seven angels. And when I was, that's what birthed Seven Flames Global Outreach, and that's who we are. And so in the midst of all that, this hand came through these angelic beings who had gowns that were iridescent and all types of colors. And as he began to stretch out his hand, I saw, as it were, the hole in the hand of Jesus. And I could see through that hole the garments of the angels. And as he was coming towards my forehead, a jewel appeared in his hand, and he set it in my forehead. And he said, I'm sealing you for the end time days for revelation for Israel. So folks, that was over 20 some years ago. And I asked God why that happened. And he said, because you're Jewish. And I argued with God for 6 weeks. Anybody ever have an argument with God? God tells you something and you just keep on just resisting and resisting and resisting and resisting. I was the king of resistance, you know, and after 6 weeks, the Lord came to me and he said, call home and ask your mother. He said, your grandfather changed his name twice and you're Jewish. And so I called home at 31 years of age and I called my mother, and this was the conversation. I said, Mom, I said, what's my heritage? And she said, well, of course you're Jewish. And I said, Mom, when did you think you might tell me that? And she said, well, you never asked before. And I said, well, I'm asking now. She said, well, why are you asking? And I said, because now it's up to me. I said, because someone told me I was Jewish. She said, really? Now, who would that be? And I said, well, Jesus did. And she said, really, what else did Jesus tell you? This was a mocking spirit, you know? And I said, well, Mom, he told me that my grandfather changed his name twice. I'd never met my grandfather at all. And she started crying, and she said, it's absolutely true. She said, it would have had to have been him, because nobody else in the world knows. She said, we've hidden our identity for centuries. And I just suddenly realized that my great-grandparents came out of Minsk in Pinsk, Russia. They came out of a real enslaved area where they were killing and barring the doors and chaining places and burning down the temples. And if anybody knows Dr. Mike, my mind just went crazy here for just a moment. We're just in a place right now where God is doing a new work. Amen. God's doing a new work right now on the earth, and he's opening up the realm of the spirit. When the Lord began dealing with me that he wanted to be king and have preeminence over all the principalities and powers, I began ministering, and I began doing something interesting. The Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, I want you to go into that field, and I want you to anoint that tower. And I said, Lord, what would I do that for? I'm climbing through a farmer's pasture with cows everywhere going through barbed wire. And I took anointing oil, and I anointed a tower. And I said, God, what am I doing? He said, you're making me king over the airwaves. That's how our ministry started. He said, I want to take the prince of the power of the air down. I want to be the king over the prince of the power of the air. That's the airwaves. That tells a vision. That's when you watch television, Satan tells a vision. God says, I want to tell a vision to the nations. He said, I want to take over the airwaves. So my wife and I, we were obedient. We went and laid hands on a tower. The next thing we knew, we were invited to do radio in Kansas City. From there, we had 90,000 people listening to us. From there, we went into Seattle. We went into Portland, Oregon. We went to Kansas City, Augusta, Georgia, Daytona, Florida. We were coast to coast on the radio for 5.5 years. That's when I met Sid Roth. And when I had that opportunity to be on this program, it was to tell the nations what God was doing right now, because God's been carrying me in the spirit, picking me up and carrying me to other nations and showing me things that will take place. And it's been kind of frightening when you're trying to tell the church and they look at you like a toad in a hailstorm. You hear what I'm saying? You start telling the church that this is what God's doing out of the book of Acts. And that's all we operate by, is by the book of Acts. We follow the spirit, and that's how I got here the first time. Amen. So I came to Australia, and I had an opportunity to minister to this young man about 10 years ago. And when I did, I spoke a word over him, sang a song over him. And then next thing I know, he turns around, he's back in America, and he ends up in this little tiny country church in Texas where my daughter's visiting. My daughter's been raised in the ministry and fed up with it. She was done with ministry, done with church, didn't want any part of anything. And this man came and spoke a word and brought her back. That's why I'm with him today, because he's got a heart for this generation. And when I spoke a word and deposited in him, 10 years later, he's in a little tiny country town that I never lived in before, and he's depositing into my daughter. She just won 2,000 souls to the Lord in the last 2 years at Rodney Howard Brown School. Amen. She went out and ministered the other day, and she came home disheartened. She ministered to 31 people and only won 12 to the Lord. And she was disheartened. She said, man, Australia's hard, and they need more prayer. I said, honey, I don't know anybody else that went out and won 12 people to the Lord today. That's nearly half of everyone you spoke to. Amen? Do you understand? Do you understand? Do you really grab hold of what God's saying right now? When God sent me, he sends me to places to open up the realm of the spirit. And I don't know why he does it, but he sends me to places to open up television. He sends me to places to open up the media. He sends me to places to open up the realm of the spirit so that the prophecies that are going to be fulfilled can be deposited into the church. And we can believe that these end times really are these times that the greatest glory will be seen. Amen. God has sent me into the Middle East. I've been into the Israeli Defense Force. I've spoken in the Knesset in Jerusalem. I went into Amman, Jordan. I went into Syria. I went into, help me, Lord, into Iraq. I went into Kurdistan. I went into Turkey. I've been in all these nations. About 23 of the 25 nations I've traveled in have been predominantly Muslim nations. And I had no idea that I was opening up the realm of the spirit. And every time they would get up and speak from their minarets and begin to sing, I would be on the hotel balcony singing in tongues and letting it echo all over Iraq. And it stopped the minarets from singing. They stopped their singing because they didn't know what was being done there. And I was singing in Hebrew. And folks, I tell you, I've never spoken in Hebrew in my life. I woke up in the middle of the night one night singing a song, and God said, go into the church. I lived in the church. I lived in the sanctuary behind it, you know? And I went in there. I began to record this song. And as I was singing the song, I just turned on a recorder. I didn't even know how to record it. I took a piece of tape and taped over a Hosanna tape, all right? Because it was the only way that I could record something. I put a piece of tape over it so I could record over something else. I sang this song, and as I sang this song, I was literally watching Jesus walking down the Via Dolorosa. And as he was walking down that way, I saw people spitting on him. I saw people beating him. I saw his beard ripped out. I saw his hair ripped out. I saw him carrying that cross. And it was the second time that I've seen Jesus in a crucified and a resurrected state. All right. And when that happened, it changed my life. And I began singing this song. And as I sang this song, I recorded it. Later on, I took it to some Hebrew scholars that were living in the Golan Heights at the time. And they moved into Ottawa, Kansas, and I gave them the tape, and I said, will you listen to this? And they said, what is it? I said, it's a song I sang in the night. So as I sang this song in the night, they started listening to it, and my friends turned to me. They said, I didn't know that you spoke Hebrew. And I said, well, I don't. And they said, you're singing in perfect Hebrew right now. And they said, you're even speaking in the dialect from the Golan Heights where we teach. All right? I was singing in their dialect. And I said, well, what am I singing? By now I'm weeping. I said, what am I singing? And they said, you're not. They said, it's the Lord. And he's singing as he's walking down the Via Dolorosa that he saw all of you and that he paid the price freely for all mankind. And I'm singing this song. And I said, just wait. I said, it's coming. At the end of the song, I sang in English verbatim every word that they just spoke to me back in Hebrew. That's when I knew that God had sealed me for Israel and for the church to get an awakening for these last days. God picked me up and carried me, and I was a vine growing in his hand. He picked me up just recently, picked me up and carried me so fast and stuck me into the wall, into the Kotel wall in Israel. And as he did, I was a vine, and I started growing in this wall. And God said, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. God spoke to me the other night, and he said, I'm joining two sticks together. He said, I'm joining together the house of Joseph and Israel. I'm joining Judah together, and these two sticks shall become one in your hand. And God said, watch what I begin to do. God's going to begin to join generations together. He's going to begin to join worship, and he's going to begin to join the apostolic and the prophetic kingdom mandates that is all of your DNA. Every one of you are carrying the DNA of God. You have the divine nature of the Almighty. It's inside of you. The DNA of God is growing inside of you. It's growing inside of you. It's growing inside of you. It's growing inside of you because we came from God. We were a thought in God before we were. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. He said, I knew you before I put you in the matrix of your mother's womb. I knew what you were ordained to do. And all of you somewhere in your life told God before you got to this earth, here am I, send me. I'll do the work. I'll fulfill the work. And whatever it was that you told God that you're going to do, that's what the resistance has been against. And right now, that's what you're fighting right now. And if in this age it's Islam, we're fighting that darkest spirit. It's nothing but a desert principality that runs around in a circle and tries to worship itself. And it's not going to have power when you give the power and the glory to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying right now? I personally went into Kurdistan. I was picked up in a dream and carried into Iraq, and I was set down, and I saw in this dream, I saw a black mamba snake, and as this black mamba was going up the hill around a rock and into a cave, I started looking at this, and God spoke to me in the dream. He said, follow it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to follow a black mamba. I mean, you get within 75 yards of there, you're in its strike zone. They can strike up to 14 times, and they move at 21 miles an hour, and the fastest human is 19. You don't want to get caught in the strike zone of a black mamba. And God's dropping me in Iraq and said, follow it. And I'm thinking, God, you want me dead. So I start following this black mamba, and I go around this rock into a cave, and I start hearing all this Islamic prayers going on in there. And as I'm in this cave, I hear the snake, I hear the serpent, and I hear these prayers, and I'm thinking, God, where am I? And I started backing out of the cave, and as I backed out, I was frightened. I didn't want to be there. And so I started moving down the road, and as I moved down the road, suddenly there was another black mamba, and God said, follow it. And I followed this black mamba around the rock, up the hill, through the cave, and the same exact thing happened. I listened to all these prayers being prayed, and I'm in this cave, and I'm wondering, what am I doing? I'm scared. I'm frightened, because I could feel the movement of the snake, and I could hear these voices, and I don't know what these voices are saying, and I just feel this hatred and this enemy around me. And I started to back out of the cave a second time. Now a third time I'm walking down the road. As I'm walking down, remember, God establishes everything by the mouth of two or three witnesses. I get down to this place, and all of a sudden there's a third black mamba, and God said, follow it. And I followed up the hill, around a rock, into the cave, and it's almost identical in each one of these three places. The next thing I know, I'm following the snake, and I hear this vibrant prayer going on, and it's electrifying, but it's powerful, and I'm frightened, and I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in the presence of this evil that I'm feeling right now. So I backed out of the cave a third time, and as I did, I'm moving down, and all of a sudden I'm with this big bush, and this bush is shining and shimmering, and it's got big black ants, which, by the way, Australia has, that can kill a human. And when you're a decaying body, they can consume an entire body in one day. I bet you knew that, right? And so anyway, I'm seeing all these ants on this big bush, and as I'm seeing all these ants on the big bush, suddenly they start to drop off on me, and I'm thinking, I don't want to die by snakes, and I don't want to die by ants. Why am I here? I'm wanting to wake up out of this dream. Anybody understand? It's like a dream from heaven, but you don't realize it at the time. And so I know it sounds kind of funny, but all of a sudden these ants were on me. And then the most bizarre thing, a really, really big fish is floating in the air and it's looking at this shimmering ants on this tree. And this fish all of a sudden starts inhaling. It looks at me and goes and starts inhaling the ants off the front of me and off of every branch of this bush. Every branch, it started pulling them off and pulling them off and pulling them off and eating them and swallowing them, just inhaling all the ants off these bush. All right. So the next thing I know, there's four more Arabs and they motion for me to come around the mountain and to lay down on this Persian rug. And I go around the mountain, I get down on this rug that's familiar from Turkey and Persia, you know, and I lay down. I'm thinking, I want walls around me, I want a roof on me, I want to be comforted. I don't want to be out in the air with nobody around me. And I'm waking up from this dream, and God tells me on a Sunday morning, now tell it to your church. I'm like, God, you tell it to the church. You give them that dream, you know? Because I'm like, I don't want to be wherever he just took me. Like Ezekiel, he picked me up by my hair and carried me to another country, and he set me down. And through his glory, he began to impart to me what I was to see. And the scroll that I was seeing, I was to eat, and it was bitter inside of me. The next thing I know, I get a phone call on Tuesday, and they said, Bob, has the Lord spoken to you to go into Iraq? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And they said, we're sure that God should have spoken to you. We've been praying. All the end time handmaidens were praying together that I would hear the call of the Lord to go into Iraq to prophesy. So the next thing I know, I'm like, okay, now I understand. I'm going to Iraq. In my studies, and I begin to study, I realize that there are no black mambas in Iraq. They're only in Africa, where I just come from, and the black ants were in Australia, where I just come from. And I'm thinking these two deadly forces are trying to get me to go to a country that I don't even want to go to. So the next thing I know, I end up going to Iraq. I go in through Turkey. I come in through a little town called Batman. And when I get there, they start throwing Coke bottles at me. And they're lobbing these bottles. And these little tiny terrorist guys are throwing bottles, walking around with machine guns. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth in Christ. And I'm looking at machine guns in little tiny kids' hands. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be there. Their water bottles were in the shape of hand grenades. That's what they're drinking. They're teaching their children. Here's the water. The water bottle is the exact replica of the size and the shape of a hand grenade. And this is what they give their children. They sell them on the streets in Iraq and in Turkey. Are you hearing me? And this is what the kids are walking around with. They're aiming their machine guns at me. And I'm thinking, really, God, this is where you want me to prophesy? I mean, I've been in church and it's hard enough sometimes. I used to get stoned in the world, but I never got stoned so much as when I stepped in the church and tried to be the prophet that you called me to be. So now the next thing I know, I fly into Turkey, I go in across the Bosphorus River, I go across the Euphrates, I go into Iraq, and when I'm getting in there, I start ministering, and I'm in this place, and it's raining, raining, raining. Every place I go, it rains. So my wife says, you know, honey, I'll go with you, but I don't want to live with an umbrella in my hand. It's true. Every place I come into to Brisbane last 12 days ago, it rained, 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 rained. That was me. I'm sorry, my daughter's like, dad's here. Everyone started calling me. They're like, Bob's in the country, you know, because it rains wherever I go. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So in the midst of all this, I'm getting there, and I've only got 22 closings today. Amen. I promise. So in the midst of all this, I finally get into Iraq, and it's raining, raining, raining. And I'm like, God, why is it raining? I can't see anything. And all the people are coming to me, and they said, this is glorious. And I said, why? And they said, it's raining. And I said, I don't want it to rain. I want to see the country. They said, the terrorists cannot put out their improvised explosive devices when it's raining. So they said, the roads are safe as long as it's raining. So as long as you're here, you're safe. So they had a contingency of 25 people, caravans, that would protect me while I was traveling wherever I went in Iraq, because everybody was wanting to kill me. I'm like, why do they want to kill me? The first thing they tell me to do when I got to Iraq is they said, don't tell anybody that you're Jewish. So I sit down in a room, a pretty good-sized room, you know, probably 150 people in there, little underground church, and this man starts smiling at me, and he's looking me straight in the eye, and finally he gets up and he walks and he sits down next to me, Pastor, and he said, what is your heritage? Now, the first question I'm asked when I get to Iraq, he said, what is your heritage? And I said, well, I look around the room and I said, well, I'm Jewish. He said, so am I. He said, shh, don't tell anybody else. So he said, I'm your interpreter. And I said, you are? He said, yes, I'm your interpreter. And so he begins to speak to me. And as he begins to speak to me, anybody remember? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, just come and help me right now. Anybody remember when Saddam Hussein was about to be hung? Do you remember the whole story of Haman as Haman was being hung? Do you remember Mordecai? You remember the story of Mordecai? This man looks at me and he said, So am I. I'm Jewish. He said, my name is Mordek. He said, but don't tell anybody. He said, my father on his deathbed in Baghdad just told me a few weeks ago, this guy was 61 years old. He was an English professor. He said, my father just told me that he wanted to be buried in Jerusalem and not in Iraq. And I said, well, why would he do that? He said, by the way, he said, Mordek, your name is Mordecai. So my interpreter is Mordecai. The city that I'm traveling through, they're hanging Saddam Hussein in Erbil. Are you guys listening to this? I go up there, it stops raining, I'm in Erbil. This is the place that ISIS is right now. But I was there 5 years ago prophesying to the leaders, laying hands on the leaders, laying hands on the prime minister, laying hands on all of the Kurdish leaders, Kurdistan, laying hands on them, crying out in their offices. I get a chance to go up on the roof to pray one day because the sun comes out. And when it does, I look and there's three mountains in front of me. I come down to the balcony, down from the portico, and I come into the house and I said, what are these three mountains there? And they said, well, this is where the Sunnis are, this is where the Shias are, and this is where the terrorists are. And they all live in these three hills right here. These were the three hills that I went to where I was following the Black Mamba. Now, I'm studying the Black Mamba, and when I do, I find out that it's a terrorist group out of the Horn of Africa that's coming into Iraq right then. And they were just sneaking in during that period of time, called the Black Mambas, all right? A terrorist organization. And they were forming ISIS at that time, but nobody knew at that time how deadly they were going to become. But God had me go there to prophesy to them. And so I began to prophesy to these mountains that they will be taken back for the Lord, that the glory of the Lord will take back everything in this place, and that it will not be stolen. Then I go to the, and I preach at these three places where the Sunnis are, where the Shias are, and then where the terrorists are. And the next thing I know, I'm going to this other city. And they said, when you go to Mosul, we said, we don't want you to go there because that's where all the terrorists are. But when these people came from Mosul to worship in our services, they jumped up and down like pistons, and they carried a praise and a glory that I'd never seen anywhere before. And they would just jump. These were the Christians in Mosul, which you know is Nineveh. Are you hearing me? So now they come into this place, and when they come into this place, all of a sudden, they're everywhere, and they're coming in, they're jumping up and down. They said, please come to our church. Please come to our church. It's underground. We only have 100 people. I went to the purest church I ever met in my whole life, and it was in Iraq. The purest church that I ever met. It was a first day modern Book of Acts church. They took communion every 20 to 25 minutes. I said, why are we taking communion again? They said, because the people have sinned. Their hearts have strayed from God. And they would go in the kitchen and take communion again and just be silent before the Lord. They couldn't praise out loud because they had to drop people off one at a time. They couldn't have crowds because the terrorists would come. The next thing I know, I'm ministering there. And as I'm ministering there, I'm teaching them on the power of praise and that we can defend an entire nation by sending out Judah first and sending out our praise and sending Judah first and sending out our praise and sending Judah first. And the next thing I know, they're taking communion again. And I'm teaching them standing in a hallway between a bedroom and a living room because it's the only way everybody could see me, 50 in each room. And I'm standing in the hallway and I'm teaching them through a wall down the middle. And as I'm teaching them, the next thing I know, my words, I was the big fish in the dream. I want you to catch this. In John chapter 21, there's 153 fish, seven disciples. Peter said, I'm going out. Peter represents faith. I'm teaching prophetically now. Peter represents faith, all right? James was the one who held out hope for the Israelites, and John was the one whom the Lord loved. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide. Anytime you see Jesus do anything, he takes Peter, James, and John, faith, hope, and love. So now faith gets out of the boat because he said, I'm going fishing. Seven go in the boat with him, right? So now there's seven total. They fish all night. They catch nothing. Jesus, at the dawn of a new day, says, cast the net on the right side and you'll find some. They now pull up 153 fish, which in Hebrew, 153 is sons of God. I want you to catch this. So now the 153 is the sons of God. They're catching the sons of God, which are the big fish which have gotten away from organized religion and still need to be caught. Are you hearing me? There's big fish out there that need to be caught. And so now they're pulling in the net. And all of a sudden, John, whom the Lord loves, said, it is the Lord, because love recognizes Jesus at the dawn of a new day. When John recognizes Jesus, it says Peter got out of the boat, for he put on his outer coat, which in Israel is your mantle, for he had taken it off. Peter dismantled himself. God didn't do it. Because he failed, he took his mantle off. Now he puts it back on. He dives into the water, comes up at the feet of Jesus. This is the second time that Peter got out of the boat. First time he got on in a mixture of pride and presumption and fear, and he collapsed. Second time he puts his mantle on, comes up at the feet of Jesus in humility. And when he comes up in humility, the next thing you know, Jesus has got a coal of fire there, and he's got fish, and he's got a loaf of bread. And he said, bring some of the fish that you just caught. So now there's six men dragging a large net side by side in their boat, because guess what? The vision is too small for the harvest. They couldn't even have room in the boat for the fish that they were catching. There's not room in the churches to catch everything that God's about to bring in. And I'm going to tell you something in just a moment prophetically. Six men are dragging this large net, and Jesus tells Peter, go grab some of the fish you just caught. Peter goes out there, and by himself, power evangelism, he drags in 153 fish, lays them down at the feet of Jesus when six men were laboring under the force of that to get the net in. Now they pull in 153 fish, which are the sons of God. Now you got seven churches and Jesus, which is eight, which is a new beginning for the churches at the end of the age. So now he's breaking fast. He's serving breakfast, which means to break fast. So now Jesus is serving breakfast. He's breaking the fast. Remember, the religious leader said, how is it that John and his disciples, they fast and wash their hands and they pray often and yours don't? He said, how can they while the bridegroom's with them? He said, the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away and then they will fast. Now Jesus returns back to the church and he's telling us how to evangelize and how to supernaturally do it. And now he's breaking the fast because he's back with the church. Are you with me? So now all of a sudden, they divide the fish between the eight of them, which is a new beginning, and they each get 19 fish apiece. 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel and 7 for the 7 churches. And God's saying, the Lord thy God is one God. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of the 7 churches. He's the God of the 12 tribes. He's one God. And the 19 apiece, God says, I'm giving you all a piece of the pie for Israel in the last day. Are you catching this? So now God speaks to me, and he said, now you go fishing. And I said, where? And he said, I want you to go to Hawaii. So I go to Hawaii, and I fish, and I start to evangelize. I'm there for 8-9 years evangelizing. And one day, I'm down on Hotel Street where all the prostitutes are. My wife and I are evangelizing on the street. We were there for 8 years on the streets before anybody even knew us. We never even ministered in church. We would go there every year. I ministered out on the streets, and all of a sudden, I'm encountering this man who's got a little brown sack in his hand. Pastor, he walks up to me, and he taps me on the shoulder. I'm out evangelizing. And he said, hey, man, he said, I got the big H, heroin. And I looked at him. I didn't even know what else to say. I said, hey, dude, I got the big G, God. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, not another one. And I said, I agree. I'm not like anybody you ever met. I said, I'm here right now at the request of the prayers of your mother and your grandmother. And your grandmother has got a Pentecostal hairdo that's up to here, and she's in San Francisco. He said, you know her? I said, no, I just saw her in the spirit. He said, well, they've been praying for me. And I said, your name is John, and God's going to deliver you today, John, because you're an evangelist too. And the next thing I know, he sits down, and I pray a prayer with him. He cries. He weeps. So a week goes by, and I beg God to let me minister to him one more time before I leave the island. A week later, God says, at 9:02 in the morning, I want you to go and stand on the corner, and when you stand on this corner, I'm going to present him to you. My wife is pregnant with Jasmine. This was 20 years ago. And Jane is eating about 5 times a day. Every Jack in the Box we could find on the island, she was eating at that. My daughter loves Jack in the Box, so we don't know why. It's in her DNA. So the next thing I know, I'm on this corner, and my administrator's with me, my wife is with me, and there are voices in my head that are telling me, you're not gonna find this guy. No heroin addict's gonna come out at 9:01 in the morning, 9:02 in the morning. I'm there at 9:01, 9:02. It's the longest minute of my life. I keep looking at my watch, and the demons are screaming, and my wife is standing there going, I don't think he's gonna show up. My administrator's standing there going, man, why'd we get up so early? And I'm like, because there's a guy out here that needs to be ministered to. The next thing I know, I'm sitting there, 9:02 comes along. And at 9:02 exactly, God said, now, look. And I turn right, and here comes this guy with his long beach hairdo and his long floppy shirt and his sandals and his brown paper heroin bag. And he comes walking up to me a second time, doesn't remember me from the first time. Comes up, and he's like, hey, dude, I got the big H. And I said, hey, dude, remember me? I said, I got the big G, God. He's like, oh, no, not again. And I said, dude, I said, I prayed for you to get here. He said, you want to hear something? He said, I was up in the mountains. He said, I was right in the middle of a drug deal. He's bleeding on his shoulder. He's bleeding on his elbow. He's bleeding on his knee. He said, I was in the middle of a drug deal up in the mountains. And he said, and I was just handing this heroin to the guy when he pulled out a knife and put it to my throat. He said, I had nothing to do except open the door and grab my bag and jump out of the car. And he said, when I landed on my feet, I was down here in the city, and I don't know how I got here. We prayed that God would bring him and God would demonstrate that he would bring him to that place so that he could hear the gospel. God's answering the prayers of little grandmothers in little tiny villages, in little tiny places that nobody even knows about. God's going to answer every one of your prayers. There's going to come a day of recompense when the bowl will be poured out and all the blind will see and all the deaf will hear and all the lame will leap and everyone simultaneously will get the joy of the Lord because the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. Are you hearing me? So now back to my story. I'm in a parking lot where I met this heroin addict, and I thought, God, if anybody needs the gospel preached, it's right here in this place. I'm standing in front of the Golden Harvest pornographic Chinese movie theater, and I start to prophesy with an evangelist from Singapore and some prophets and pastors from Kansas City. And I said, the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out in this place, and from this place, billions of souls will be reached. For God says that I'm going to pour out my Spirit in this place. And I'm telling you the truth in Christ. You ask the Holy Spirit right now. Ask Him. Holy Spirit, bear witness right now. From the canopy of the trees over my right shoulder, in the top of the trees, the wind started to blow. Went all the way down the parking lot. Got to the end, went across the parking lot, all the way back to us and all the way back to its place of origin. And my friend from Singapore started singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Creation was agreeing. The Spirit of God was all around that parking lot. And from that, Paul and Jan Crouch came in and they bought the Golden Harvest Pornographic Chinese Theater. And when they did, they made it Trinity Broadcasting Network in Hawaii. And when they did, they put the Miracle Network in there. And when they did, then they reached 5 billion souls in Jakarta, in Asia, and in China. And all of a sudden, I get back to the island, and it's TBN now. It's not the pornographic Chinese theater, because God sent me to open up the airwaves. Now I go to a second building, and when I get to the second building, I go up to the top floor, and I start prophesying, from this location, the vision of a man will go forth to the nations of the world. And God says the supernatural will be seen, the supernatural will be heard, and the supernatural will be imparted. The next thing I know, I'm in Lester Summerall's building, and this is where Lacey Broadcasting is. 4 days after TBN started broadcasting into Jakarta, Lester Summerall's dream was fulfilled after he died. I prophesied it into existence, and now China's being reached by Lacey Broadcasting. And now, all of a sudden, 5 billion souls are being reached. Then Pastor Benny Hinn and another man bought a satellite, and when they did, it went into Iraq. My wife and I sold $1,000 gift in the Benny Hinn for that satellite. And before I left that weekend, I had 7,000 more come into our ministry. $1,000. I sold $1,000 gift to reach the Middle East. And all of a sudden it came back to me, perfect, complete, and in unity. Do you hear what I'm saying? Perfection. Now back to my story. I get into Turkey, and when I'm in Turkey, I go across the Bosphorus River into Asia Minor. This is the place that Paul preached, and I encounter a man named Ali. Ali had a story done by Pat Robertson, and the story was called More Than Dreams. You can find it on YouTube and watch the videos. They're phenomenal. Jesus came and visited Ali at the Mecca, at the big mosque in Saudi Arabia, laid his hand on him and said, Ali, you belong to me. You don't belong here. And he did it 3 times. He woke up in 3 different dreams, and all of Saudi Arabia was covered with flowers, and the fragrance of Jesus was there. And he went running into the tent at Mecca and said, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And they said, oh, poor Ali. He's an alcoholic, and he's just detoxing right now. He had 3 dreams. He went and woke up everybody in Saudi Arabia while they were there doing their spiritual Hajj. The next thing that happens, he goes to a hotel, takes off his shirt, and he goes to brush off the mason dust because he was a cement mason, and he thought it was dust on his chest, and it wasn't. It was the handprint of God where Jesus came and laid it on Ali's chest, and it's still there to this day. 9 years later, he still has the handprint of God on his heart, and right now he's in Iran in an underground church. He's got over 5,000 people that are coming to the Lord right now because it's more than dreams. He got an impartation from Jesus in the Middle East. Now back to my story. I'm ministering, and I got these 3 different snakes and this big bush and this fish. I'm now the big fish because, listen, prophets swallow up what's destroying you. The food that John the Baptist ate, anybody remember? Locusts and wild honey. And you know what? The locusts are the devourers. So the locusts, whatever's devouring your bush, whatever's devouring your tree, whatever's devouring your life, the prophets come in there and swallow it up through the Lord and swallow up that demonic disease and darkness, and they eat it. And that's what that big fish was doing on that bush with all those black ants being sucked in. And I looked at that, and all of a sudden I'm in Mosul. And Mosul was the place that the terrorists were being armed by Iran and Syria to go into Israel. And it was all happening in Mosul, in Nineveh. The week after I left, they rooted out 35 insurgents and 1,900 weapons that were all hidden in there through praise and glory. And I prophesied that the number one Al-Qaeda would be taken down. A missile went into his house and killed him and his son 10 days after I prophesied it. Boom, they're gone. Leaders gone. God wants their leaders gone. If they're not going to change, Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those that my Father's put in my hand. And of those that he put in my hand, I've lost none. So I don't pray for the whole world for peace. I pray for those that my Father's put into my hand. Are you hearing me? You want to know how to pray? Pray the prayer that Jesus prayed. He's the Lord of the harvest. So the next thing I know, Pastor, I get over here and I'm prophesying, and as I'm prophesying, it's eating up all these armies of ants. The next thing I know, remember in the dream, all the ants were being sucked off of these branches. Remember, it was a bush. It was a burning bush, but it was full of ants. The bush was George Bush, who had sent people into Iraq, and the ants were the armies of ants, and the big fish was me prophesying, sucking up all those armies off every branch of government that was being overtaken right there. Are you guys getting the picture here? Now I go around the mountains and I rest and I plant a church in the city of Dahok. It's a small little church. An Armenian guy there takes over. I lay hands on a man who becomes the evangelical president of all of Iraq. I've got really good connections in Iraq right now. And so I'm not afraid of ISIS. I'm not afraid of what they're trying to do there. It's just a little blip on the radar, but God's glory is going to swallow it up. Are you with me? So the next thing I know, I'm in this place, and I go around the backside, and I'm in a place of rest, and I meet four men, four pastors, who bring me to a place of rest up in the city of Dahok. We plant the church. It grows to 300 people. I prophesied that they're going to have an upper room church, an upper room ministry. Somebody gives them a three-story building. They put a market in the bottom, an apartment on the second floor, and the church on the third. They got 300 spirit-filled people there. Are you hearing me? A few weeks ago, the church grew from 300. Please hear this. I want you to hear this. ISIS came in, moved everyone out of Mosul. The church grew from 300 to 35,300 in one day. In one day. They called me up and they said, Prophet, what do we do? We got 35,000 people trying to suck on us, and we don't know how to feed them. We don't know how to care for them. My wife and I took a $2,000 gift and we sent it there. And when we did, we moved 19 families out of Mosul up into Dahok, and they're now the leaders in the church there. Are you guys hearing this? There's a movement on the ground of things that are happening. I was just in contact with someone last week, and they're feeding food and bringing it in, smuggling it in right now to all these insurgents right now so that they can be rooted out and the people that have been displaced can be fed. Are you with me? I'm going to minister here prophetically in just a second. But I want us to know that God's opening up the airwaves. I go and I prophesy to Ali that God's going to open up the airwaves over Turkey and over Iraq. I say there's going to be a battle up in the heavens, and there's going to be a battle in the heavens, and the stars are going to fight, but God's going to win because he's the morning star. I said in 90 days, hear me now, in 90 days, the gospel will be broadcast to every Islamic person here. In 90 days. I get into a home group meeting in Daytona Beach, Florida. My friend Mike Walker, missionary in China, calls me up and he said, Bob, do you hear? And I said, hear what? He said, they're broadcasting in Turkey today. I said, Mike, when were we there? He said, 90 days ago today. I said, who's broadcasting? They said, Joyce Meyer. She had 16.5 million downloads on the computer that came in on her first programs. 16.5 million. You cannot tell me there's not a spiritual vacuum and a spiritual hunger there. In their homes, they're listening. They took me three stories down in Turkey to a church, and I got down into the basement, three stories of rickety stairs, and I got down there, and the power of God was so overwhelming. And I said, what is this? They said, this was one of the first churches from one of the first apostles. And I'm down there. There's a fresco painted on the wall, and it's got water weeping through the wall, and it's of Mary. And I'm in this church, and I'm thinking, you know what, God, I'm in a church in the basement that nobody even knows about. Mosaics on the wall, mosaics on the floor, and they said this was the hidden church that nobody knows about. They said, we come down here often and pray. These are secret Christians in Turkey. They estimate there's only 4,000 real Christians in Turkey, and only about 400 of them will show their faces. Are you hearing me? This is the seat of Satan, and God keeps sending us in there. So then they start broadcasting, and they start broadcasting. Then I go into Namibia, and I prophesy one day. I said, there must be more TV. I'm watching this agricultural station for 12 hours a day in black and white. You know, in America, we got 5,000 channels and too much. Do you hear what I'm saying? But there's nothing in Namibia. And I said, there must be more TV. I sit down in the car, and I pray with an intercessor from the End Time Handmaidens. And I said, Molly, I said, let's agree that God brings TV to Namibia. I said, there must be more TV. There must be more TV. So I said, Molly, the Lord says to record where we are in the time. She said, well, we are at TV Moore Street. I said, excuse me? She said, we're at TV Moore Street. I said, what's TV Moore? She said, it's a man, and that's the street that this is named on. TBN came on the second floor of a church on TV Moore Street and started in Namibia. I started broadcasting there about 8 years ago. Are you hearing me? When I came there were six radio stations. Now there's 26. They're broadcasting into South Africa. They're broadcasting up north into the Caprivi area. They're broadcasting into Congo and into Zambia. Folks, I got to tell you something. Broadcasting is where God's at. He wants to teach the people how to become spirit beings. He wants the church to learn how to become spirit-filled. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm in a Baptist church that's, what, over 100 years old? You guys believe in prophets because I'm here, right? You guys know who the first prophet was, right? Do you know who the first Baptist was? John the Baptist, amen? Do you know that the first prophet received the first apostle in the river, right? He received Jesus, the apostle of our faith. And so we know right now that the foundation of this church is for the prophetic and the apostolic to grab hold of the kingdom, amen? And the kingdom is not just about us coming here on a Sunday morning. The kingdom is about us being sent out and expressing God wherever we go. And God wants to send you out wherever he wants to send you right now. Amen? And so I've only given you a small piece of what God's doing right now, but he's opening up the airwaves right now. And whenever you support opening up the airwaves and broadcasting and media, let me tell you something. Something's going to happen because it's going to take it back from the prince of the power of the air. Are you hearing me? I was broadcasting on a radio station in Kansas City, teaching on the prophetic and the apostolic in Kansas City, all right? This is where IHOP is at. This is where Mike Bickle's at. This is where things have been going on for many, many years. But I was there before all that happened. And I'm prophesying on the radio, 90,000 people, I've only got 11 in my church. I don't even know how we're paying for it at the time. And I come to the station one day and I see around the station 12 white cobras and they're all with their hoods open, ready to strike. And they're ready to strike. And I'm pulling up to the station. I see this surrounded by white cobras. And God said, this is the religious spirit that strikes people when they come on the air and fills them up with doctrines of demons. God said, I want you to cut off their heads. So I go there and I cut off their heads and I start teaching the apostolic and the prophetic with signs and wonders following. Everything I prophesy comes to pass. Everything that I'm prophesying, every nation I'm going into, it's coming to pass. God's healing nations. He's changing things. He's bringing drought-stricken places, and it's breaking. I get almost disillusioned. I'm in Africa. I just left Australia. This was years ago. And I'm in a hotel room, and in the middle of the night, God wakes me up. Now, he's given us authority over storms, right? You know that. You know you have authority over storms? Jesus said, peace be still. You have authority over storms, right? You have authority over storms? Do you? Do you? We have authority, right? Do you really believe it? So they make me a watchman in the nation of Bermuda. I don't even know how that happens. I'm up in Toronto, Canada, and I have a vision of a little boy, and he's handed some crayons. The little boy grabs the blue crayon, and he's scribbling all over the map of America, outside the lines, all over the place. Not coloring, but just every which way, every which way. And when it's done, I said to the Lord, I said, God, what is this? He said, those are your travel plans. And that's how I traveled. And I drew outside the lines, and that's how I got Bermuda and Hawaii. So I'm coming back to Hawaii, and I'm coming back to Australia. God said, go to Hawaii and minister. I minister there, and it's on the longitude-latitude line is 153. 153 on the map, on the globe, all right? The other one is in Australia, and it's right here on the Sunshine Coast, and it's 153. And 153 is the sons of God. Remember, 153 is sons of God. God said, I want you to fish here. This is the place that I want you to cast out the net and that I want you to bring them into my feet and I'll distribute them to all as everyone needs. God wants to fill the churches, but there's not even enough room in this house. Yeah. I've got a friend of mine. He's in Perth right now. I met him in South Africa and I started prophesying to him. And in a weak moment, I just fell to my knees crying. Now I had manly tears because they bounced back up to me, you know, but I'm crying in this church. And as I'm crying, I said, I want everybody that's got AIDS to come forward. The whole church just froze. A few minutes later, I had over 85 people standing around me just weeping. I'm on my knees. I'm groaning. I'm travailing. I turn around. I prophesied to the pastor. I said, in 1955, when God planted this church, he planted it for a harvest. And the pastor's looking around. All the elders are talking. They get up and leave. The whole front row leaves. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, I must have done something out of protocol. They all leave, and then they come back a few minutes later, and the pastor walks up. He says, in 1955, this church was built. It was built for 1,700 people. And I said, it's going to double to 3,500. The next year, it doubled to 3,500. It was only up to 1,700 people from 1955 all the way up to 2005, actually. And then it doubled after I prophesied to it. Are you hearing me? And when that happened, all these AIDS people started getting healed. And you're going to get healed today. The Spirit of God is going to pour out here. He's already here. But when this happens, this is going to be massive move of God in a few minutes. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's going to be a massive explosion of his dunamis power and his exousia authority. When the authority and the power are operating together, then you've got something, amen? And that's what God wants. He wants the power and the authority to move together. So we're in this place, and we're prophesying TV, we're prophesying TV, we're prophesying radio TV, because God wants to take back the airwaves. He wants you to hear the gospel in ways that you've never heard it before. Are you hearing me? Okay. Father God, I just come before you right now. And I ask you right now, Father, for one thing. In Hebrews chapter 10, The writer says, "But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggling with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God," listen to this, "after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise." That word endurance in the Greek is a word that means to persevere. It means under constancy, to hold up under the pressure. It means to hold up and to be steadfast under the pressure. He said you have need of being able to stand under the pressure of suffering. And after that, he says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry." He said, "Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." He said, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now I'm going to start. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now," I want you to say now. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." He said, after you've endured and after you've gone through suffering, now you can have the gift of faith because you've also persevered under the suffering and remained steadfast under the pressure. Now I can give you the gift of faith to take the nations. But you have to persevere through the sufferings. That's the part nobody wants. That's the part everybody says, I don't want to read that part. I don't want to read that story. I don't like that story about that man because his whole family was taken. Anybody know Job? Nobody wants to read Job. Nobody wants to read about the suffering. Nobody wants to know about the struggles. But we've all had struggles and we've all had suffering. Amen? My friend got up here and he prophesied to a handful of people. And folks, I got to tell you something. God wants every one of you to receive something today. He was given a limited time to be able to speak something and to express the evangelistic supernatural realm that he's moving in. Amen? But folks, we're going to demonstrate that in just a moment because Paul said, "I don't come with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit of God and his power, his dunamis power." Amen? So are you guys ready for his dunamis power to come? After we've endured that struggle, then we can move in the gift of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. This is time to roll up your sleeves, folks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, even now, God says that I'm moving on the earth and I'm doing a new work. God says that even as I'm doing a new work, God says, I'm going to declare a new thing. God says, say not in your hearts you've seen this, for before now it's not been created. But God says, even now, lift up your hands, stand up, come on, lift up your hands and open your mouth, and I will feed you the gift of faith. I will give you the gift of faith that you might rise up and minister and move in the DNA that I've ordained from the matrix of your mother's womb. And God says, even now, watch what I do as healing virtue begins to flow. My healing virtue will flow through this house. It'll flow through your life. It'll flow through your ministry. It'll flow through your belly. God says, watch what I begin to do. Watch what I begin to do. For God says, even now, not only will the coast be saved, but God says, you're going to be the saving grace. God says, I am the Lord of the harvest, and I'm sending you out into the nations as international harvesters. And God says, right now, open your mouth and receive the gift of faith. Eat it. Eat, eat, eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat, 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 and taste and see. The supernatural is yours. The supernatural, inevitable intervention of God is moving right now. He's at the door. He's giving you the key right now. The key is turning right now. The key is turning to the door of the supernatural. God says, come up here, and I'll show you all things which must take place. You're all going to become seers. You're all going to become seers. You're all going to be moving in the supernatural because you are the body of Christ that's being resurrected right here, right now, today. And I want to speak this out right now. You are entering into a third day anointing. That third day anointing is resurrection power. That resurrection power is here right now. God says, receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it right now. Receive that supernatural power. Receive the empowerment, says the Lord. God said, take it, take it. Receive that power right now. Receive the anointing right now. God says, watch what I begin to do. For God says that I shall fill you up. I shall fill you up to overflowing. Oh, you got it, bro. Just take it. Just surrender to him. Just take it. He's already chosen you. He's already chosen you. God says, not only is there a mantle of recovery for sight, for blind eyes upon you, but God says, even now, watch what I begin to do in this season. God says, you're going to flow in the anointing. You're going to flow in the anointing. And God says, my government is upon you. You shall see that when you sing the song of the Lord, God says, deliverance shall come forth. By the determined counsel of God, by my outstretched finger, I will bring deliverance to whole nations, says the Lord. God says, go in the power. Go in the power. Go in the power, says the Lord. Go in this power. Go in this power, says God. Go in this power, says the Lord. The supernatural God wants to visit right now. I want to just speak this one thing out and then I'm finished and we'll minister. Thank you, Jesus. Moses is up on a mountain. He's looking at a burning bush. He has an experience with God. The bush is not consumed, but he's talking to a fire. God tells him, take off his sandals, for the place that he's at is holy ground. He has an encounter with God. When he has an encounter with God, God calls him and God begins to speak to him and tells him he's going to deliver whole nations. The fire is transferred into his eyes, into his DNA, but he doesn't even realize it at the time. But he's crying out on the mountain. He said, show me your glory. And God comes to him and says, Moses, no man's ever seen my face and lived. In the Hebrew, it's faces. No man's ever seen my faces and lived. You weren't there when I breathed into the nostrils of Adam. You weren't there when I began to speak into Noah. You weren't there when I deposited into Abraham. You haven't seen everything. You can't equate this one moment with my glory. But God says, nevertheless, I'll hide you in the cleft of my hand. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. In the cleft of the rock, the cleft is the hollowed out, pierced out place. That's Hebrew, cleft, hollowed out, pierced out place. He said, I'll cover you with my hand. I'll put you in the cleft and I'll cover you with my hand. And he said, I'll turn and I'll let you see my hinder parts. You'll see my hinder parts, you'll see where I'm about to go. Now suddenly Moses has translated from past his 130 years on earth all the way out into the future, because the future is where future. He's standing on the side of the mountain now, and now he's standing there with Peter, James, and John. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide. And Elijah's there, and Jesus is there, and Jesus is emptied of all blood, and he's showing himself in this manifested glory, and this unapproachable light is shining off of Jesus because he's empty of blood, and he's showing himself glorified before he gets crucified. I want you to hear this. He's glorified before he gets crucified, but he's on the mountain, and he's there with Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John. And the six of them are turning into, on that Mount of Transfiguration, the word in the Greek, metamorpho. They're morphing into the seventh day. They're turning into the seventh day. And right now, we're turning into the seventh day right now. The third day and the seventh day are the same day. A day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. We've had 2,000 years since the crucifixion and resurrection. We're early in the morning of the third day. We had 4,000 years of the law and the prophets before that. We got 7,000 years. The seven and the third is the same day. So all seven of them are turning into a third day anointing where the whole body will be transformed, no longer flesh and blood, but moving in the spirit of unapproachable, glorious light with power inside of them, faith, hope, and love, and the law and the prophets, all inside of the body of Christ being resurrected at one time, all operating together and functioning at one time around the earth. And that's where we are right now, and that's what I decree over Australia right now, that you are the body of Christ, that in resurrection power shall move in glory and power and faith and hope and love and the law and the prophets and the light. And suddenly Moses is translated back into his present day reality, because prophets leave today, go into tomorrow, grab hold of the promises of tomorrow, step back into today so that they can deliver your tomorrow today, so you can live today like it's already tomorrow. And that's why God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, because he wants to infuse you with the power of the prophets. He wants to infuse you with faith, hope, and love, so that you're not afraid of ISIS, so that you're not afraid of Muslims, that they're all created in God's image, and God wants everybody to be saved, and you are the instruments of his divine glory. Get ready for that third day anointing. Get ready for this right now. We're going to invite people in just a moment to come up, and I want you to just press into God. I want you to just press in and go past your neighbor. Press into God, because that's where faith exists. When that woman with the issue of blood, she reached in, can I just borrow you for just a second and your dress? She reached in, she touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, the power and the virtue went out of Jesus into that woman. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel. And their issue of blood was that they couldn't believe that God would have a man who would be crucified and they would have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And it stopped them from being healed. When she reached in and she touched through the crowd, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And Peter said, well, how can we know such a great crowd thronging you? That word throng in Greek means to press in with great intensity. If you press in with great intensity, the faith that exists in God will come into your body right now and heal you, and you won't have any need of anything else other than you touch Jesus. Are you with me? We're in that place right now where the glory of God wants to manifest here. He's already here. He's ready to touch every soul. Words of knowledge couldn't be enough to fill up everybody in this place today. But you reach in past the veil and God will touch you. At the very moment that that woman's touching his garment, touching his tallit, here's the tallit right here. This is the tallit right here. And as she's touching that tallit, literally it means, in the Hebrew, it means the lamb. It means the lamb of the covenant. It means the daughter of my covenant. When she reached in and touched the tallit, that's what happened. Immediately, Jairus comes, a young ruler, and says, quickly, my daughter, she's about 12 years of age, she's dead. And Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, faith, hope, and love, in there, and he prophesies over her and raises her from the dead. He said she's just sleeping. That's Israel. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. She fell asleep so that you could get saved. So now she's being awakened. So at the moment, Jesus is saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, all Jerusalem who couldn't understand the covenant promises of eating my blood and eating my flesh, and New Jerusalem, the one who everyone says is dead, but she's only asleep, I'm going to raise her both up together at one time. Now he raises her up together at one time. And that word tallit, the one who touched the corner of my tallit, it's the daughter of my covenant. It's rise up, my little lamb, my little dove. Rise up, my little lamb, the daughter of my covenant. Listen, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. You guys are hearing this, right? Mary is Israel. The lamb is Jesus. And he's going to go wherever Israel goes. Wherever Israel goes, that's where the lamb's going to be. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You've been singing it since you were little kids. Every place that the lamb goes, every place that Israel goes, Jesus is going to be there. So when you focus on Israel, he's going to be there. When you pray for Israel, he's going to be there. When you lift up Jerusalem, he's going to be there. When you pray for Israel, he's going to be there. When you pray for Israel, he's going to be there. He's going to be there for your father. And let me tell you something. In the span of 3 months, your father's coming into the kingdom, fully into the kingdom. In 90 days from today, says the Lord, God says, watch what I do as my spirit falls upon him. And God says, it's not going to be anything you've done. It's not going to be anything Daniel's done. It's everything that I'm doing right now. And it shall be a sign and a wonder that I do for you, says the Lord. God said, 90 days from today, if I can change a nation in 90 days, can I change a man's heart? And God says, the answer is yes. Watch what I do. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the move of God? Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for the supernatural? Do you want a supernatural impartation? Listen, I think that they've even prepared to show something on the TV screen, but we're going to do that after this. But I want you to know that media is where God's taking this right now. He's taking it through the realms of the spirit, through television, through the supernatural, through training schools. He's going to begin to train people. He's going to lift people up. He's equipping you for the work of the ministry. Amen. Do you believe that?
Just receive prayer from whoever comes to you, guys. Just receive it as from the Lord. Just receive it. Just step into that place of grace. Just abandon yourself to the goodness of God. It's not the individual, not the personality. It's Jesus.